You're on.
Go ahead and start with roll call.
Murphy?
Here.
Pepo?
Here.
Payne?
Here.
Morris?
Here.
Stuber?
Here.
Perry?
Here.
Trulock?
Here.
Alright, Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we welcome you, if you choose, to stay as we pray, stay standing as we pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to serve Tolona. We thank you, Father, for your wisdom, guiding our decisions. And Father, we thank you that Tolono cares about, the residents of Tolono care about what happens in their community. So we thank you, Father, for each of their voices being heard. We thank you, Father, for us hearing those and melding that with your wisdom to make decisions going forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hey, your words are your words. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Oh, you mean you're from the embassy?
Okay, is that it? Okay. All right, we're going to skip around just a little bit on the agenda. We have a special event permit for Loose Cobra. That's not it. Sorry, I'm taking your... Are there any questions about that? It should be in front of you.
So I'm sorry I didn't get this to you in advance. This is kind of like a late plan.
That's why we have it on the agenda, yeah, so we can.
Yeah, I let you know it's going to be on the... that I was going to stop by, but I didn't get you this form ahead of time. I apologize for that, but... We have an artist coming in from Austin, Christy Hayes, and she's originally from Tuscola, and so she draws a pretty sizable crowd, and there's been pretty good promotion on this and stuff in the News Gazette and that, so we expect to be full, and so I'm asking for permission to not to do an outdoor show, but to just have additional bar service outside in a small fenced-in area directly in front of my bar, just so we can kind of keep up with the customer service aspect of it, because it's almost impossible like us to, because our bar is so small, to take care of our customers when we get to capacity, which we expect to be on Friday night. So I put down from 4 to 11, the music's actually just from 4 to 11:30, the music is from about 9 to 11:30, but I'll probably set out there, if you'll allow it, go ahead and set up there in the later afternoon and let our regulars kind of enjoy it as well. No amplified music outside. And I'll be personally manning the bar and keeping an eye on things. And we'll just do snow fence for now. Because I'm still, okay. It's another topic. I'm not in compliance on the new ordinance.
Okay.
And I did want to mention something about that before I leave tonight. So
okay.
My plans on it. But I'm happy to entertain any questions about what I got going on this Friday.
Any questions, guys?
All right. Motion to approve the Loose Cobra special event permit.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody against? All right. There you go.
And I have a check for you. So
perfect.
You know. And in terms of my fencing out there, this is just kind of a side note. So I'm looking at a large event that I'll send you guys the form this week by email, and it'll be June 16th, and that will just be a bunch of local bands from Champaign, a couple bands out on the outdoor stage, a couple bands inside. And so I'd like to be in full compliance with the, that's a good target for me and a good time frame for me to be in full compliance with the fencing issues over there. And I just wanted to mention that, and if any board members would feel that's not soon enough or whatever, I'm open to talking about it, but
okay.
I just thought you guys deserve to know that I care about the new ordinance.
All right. Thank
that's
you.
My intent to take care of it, okay?
Thank you.
Thank
okay.
you.
Very good.
All right. Now let's get on to the topic why most of you guys are here. All right, this time we'll go ahead and reopen the continued public hearing on the rezoning of a property at River Road and Central Avenue from our special meeting on April 24th, 2018, which was continued till tonight's meeting. Do you want to?
Do you want to do this right now? Okay.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you all for your input in this process. We have read every email that we got, and we listened to every comment. We very much appreciate your input. It is vital to this process. Our job as a board is to bring these items to you, and our job as a board is to listen to you. And we feel like that we've done that. We will always do that. In the future, we'll bring items to you, and we'll listen. It is our job to do that for the community and hear your voice, so thank you. We invite you to be involved in the future, as your concerns and input are important in our efforts in making Tolono the best village it can be. So thank you all.
I second that.
All right, so we have, is everybody that signed up for public comments wanting to talk about this? Anybody not? Okay, perfect. All right, let's start with Ben Hilligoss. Yep.
Just one note that our seniors that live in Tolono have no guarantee, is that correct, of being able to...
Actually, we found out something different.
Did we find out something different?
Yes, we found out something different.
We will. There is a preference for any senior that lives in Tolono. They would have a preference for admission to the property over anyone else.
Okay.
Would that guarantee their...
That would be an, could you pass an ordinance if you do this to make sure that we do our seniors?
I don't know, since it's done with public money.
You could pass an ordinance saying that they get a preference. Mm-hmm. We can't exclude other people, but if someone from Tolono would apply, they would always go to the top of anybody else.
All right.
And that is acceptable under fair housing legislation.
Perfect.
Okay.
It's a fair housing issue, not because of the money that would be used.
Okay.
But it's just a federal fair housing law.
Perfect.
Okay, how about Rantoul just pass an ordinance that evicting residents of an apartment, if one of them in that apartment commits a crime.
They just
passed this. This was in last night's news.
Every resident signs a lease agreement, and the lease agreement has all of the rules and house rules in it of what they have to comply with. And anybody who does commit a crime, we basically follow up on lease termination. Now everybody is entitled to go to court, and the courts ultimately make the decision that give us the legal authority to evict anyone. But there is a process, and we enforce that all day long. We have lots of evictions that we've done that we do on a regular basis.
Okay. Okay. Now, the other thing I have problems with is believing that the housing authority is going to be able to keep this thing this pretty. This picture is really nice.
Yeah.
But I have trouble believing you're going to be able to keep it that way, especially when the Trump administration just blew out $8.8 billion of your money. How are you going to be able to maintain
this? Well, let me clarify that this is actually being built with tax credit funding, which just comes from, it's kind of complicated, I don't want to get it too complicated to get too much in the weeds, but basically tax credits are a funding mechanism that comes through the Illinois Housing Development Authority, and so there is rents that are then collected to operate it. So the maintenance or the ongoing operation of the property is basically done through the rents that are collected. It does not depend, you know, solely on federal funding. So I think that that's important to keep in mind. And I do invite you to look at some of our other properties. We have a almost 50-year-old property in Rantoul that we would call Yeoman Place. It's 20 units. We would invite you to please drive by that and take a look at it so you can see how it's been maintained. The Muhammad property obviously just opened. It's just a year, just less than a year old, but we invite you to take a look at those as well. We actually invite you to drive by our Washington Square property. It's a much larger property in downtown Champaign, but I think you'd see that both the curb appeal, we're currently spending $2 million to make improvements and upgrades. Those properties are old buildings. They're 50 years old, so obviously they're not going to look as modern as this one does. But we invite you to visit any of our properties and take a look at them. We have Crystal View, Douglas Square. Those properties are 15 years old now, and I think they look just as good as the day they were built.
Bristol Place, is that one of them?
Bristol Place is not ours.
Not
There's
yours.
Nothing there. It's all been demolished right now. But
what
it was
about
never
the one
ours?
That was on 4th and Bradley? Is that ever Champaign?
Douglas Square? Oakwood Trace?
Not sure. The one that they pulled all the wires out of it and they had to tear it down.
I'm not familiar with which one you're talking
about.
That
was 30 years ago. I worked up there in Champaign right there, and that's what they did to that building.
It was called Mansard Square.
Mansard Square.
It was not,
it did not belong to us.
Did not belong to you?
No, it did not belong to the housing.
Did you manage it?
No, we did not. We had nothing to do with that property.
That's all questions.
All right, thank you. All right, Cindy.
Oh, that's me.
That's you. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Cindy, you were talking about something. Good evening and thank you. My name is Cindy Herrera and I actually am a consultant and I work with many housing authorities around the country. Born and raised here in Illinois. Illinois is home to me. And I've been serving as the interim director of the Champaign County Housing Authority since last July. And, you know, I guess the only thing that I can relate to as I go out and talk to people about affordable housing is my own story. My grandparents lived in Raymond, Illinois. When my grandfather died, my grandmother couldn't keep her house anymore. She spent the rest of her life in a nursing home because there was no place for her to go that was affordable. My parents are now 82 and 84 years old. My mother had a situation when the economy went to a downturn a few years ago, lost her home, and we spent many months, my brother and I, looking for a place for her to go as a senior citizen. Thank goodness we found a tax credit property like this in the village of Montgomery. But it's very hard in small communities. My family all lives in small rural towns here in Illinois. And it's very, very hard in small communities to have affordable housing where the residents that have lived there their whole life can stay as they age. So while I know there's always fear, I think that sometimes the fear is misled and it isn't always understanding the facts. We've provided you with a fact sheet tonight, and we've attached a sheet from Habitat for Humanity that gives a lot of information, and attached to it is a lot of studies. I welcome you to please follow up on those. There's been hundreds of studies nationally for many years that talk about the impact or the lack of impact of affordable housing on property values, because we always hear that wherever we go to talk to people. There are real concerns, and I understand that, but there is a lot of information that says that there really is no negative impact on property values. This housing is affordable because it's for senior citizens that live on Social Security. So that's what we do. We do affordable housing versus market rate. If any of you have watched what has happened to rents in the last couple of years, they have skyrocketed all over the country. And we're seeing more and more senior citizens that simply can't afford to stay in their own homes and they can't find places in their own communities. So that's really what this project is all about. It's not about building a big high rise and bringing hundreds of people from other places. It's about building 15 homes for the senior citizens that live in Tulare. So I really think it's important. I'm so glad that all of you are here because it's important to have the facts and not have misperceptions or misinformation. We're very transparent. We've tried to provide you with as much information as we can, and we will continue to do that. And so we just like to ask that you continue to think about what this project really is and what it's really going to do for Tulare. We really believe that it's going to be a tremendous asset to your community and be a good help to help many of your seniors that may be struggling right now with being able to afford to stay in their own home. You know, Illinois has some of the highest property taxes in the country. And so it becomes difficult as you age and you live just on Social Security to continue to stay in your own home or to continue to afford a market rate rent as they've skyrocketed. So that's really what the project's about. We are here to answer any questions. If we don't know the answers today, we will take your information and get back to you with any other information that you have. So thank
What's
you.
The median income?
Pardon me?
What would be the median income?
If you look on this fact sheet, incomes for individual people, anyone up to $38,950 could qualify, or for two people, it's up to $44,500. That's 60% of the area median income of Champaign County.
Is that gross on the bottom?
Yes, it is, sir.
According to your website, it says, according to the subsidized household, the data, the average voucher household contains 2.7 persons and has a household income of $15,600. And we were told at the last meeting that vouchers would be accepted.
Okay, the property has subsidy tied to the units. People with individual vouchers will not come to this property. So the property will have subsidy. So the people who live in the property will be eligible to receive subsidy. People who have, and the information that you're getting our voucher program serves about 1,100 families throughout Champaign County.
1,580.
Well, it's actually about 1,100 today, okay? But basically, that is all of the families that live in the voucher program. It's not senior citizens. If you pull our data specifically for seniors, the data looks very different.
How are you going to police this property to keep it only senior citizens living there?
Well, it has an actual restricted covenant on it. It'll actually have a recorded covenant on the property that says that only people 55 and older can live there. The housing authority basically is the only way in which somebody can move in, and we get birth certificates, social security cards, all kinds of documentation that basically supports the person that's moving into the property.
And person then, that signs the lease.
And then later on when the nephew or the grandson or the son move in.
They don't move in.
When he does, how does it how do you police the fact that he's there, and how do you prove he's not just visiting, or what is the process to keep this from happening? Because it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
We had an email or a message the other night from a probation officer that says she has clients that live in these properties and they're senior citizens only, and they're not policed and they're not managed, and they live there, and she said they're actually her clients as a probation officer, they live there. So.
I don't know the specific facts. If you'd like to provide me with the information, the specific facts, I can respond to that. Basically, when we become aware that someone has stayed beyond the visitor policy, we issue an eviction notice to that family to say that they are in violation of their lease. And, you know, we enforce the lease. We have property managers. There's a manager that manages this property. She was at the last meeting. Basically, we manage these properties. You might be referring to some of the older properties that had issues that no longer exist because those properties don't exist. Once upon a time, the Housing Authority had public housing. Today, the Housing Authority has no public housing. All of the housing is privately owned by nonprofits. So I think you're hearing things that may be, you know, of the past. Doesn't mean that we don't, we have people who violate their lease. I would not sit here and say that does not happen. When people violate their lease, we do what any landlord does. We enforce the lease.
How will this property be different other than the age of the tenants than Turnberry Ridge?
Turnberry Ridge is not our property. I'm not familiar with
it. It's multi. Okay. It's not senior.
First of all,
it's multifamily.
Other than senior tenants, because you guys manage that property.
We do not manage any property called Turnberry. There's a property called Providence at Thornberry, but we do not manage that property. We do not. The Housing Authority does not manage that property.
Did you select the management thereof?
No. The management, it's managed by a company called Dorchester Management. The developer was a company called the Benoit Group out of Atlanta. The Housing Authority provides some assistance, but we do not own or manage that property.
How is this one going to be different than that one?
Our nonprofit, Oak Grove Development, first of all, this one is going to be 15 units. That one's 170.
Okay.
This one is going to be for senior citizens. That one is for families. And we manage and own this one. We do not manage or own that property. I think there's a misconception about any property that has troubles is owned or managed by the Housing Authority, and it's not. There are lots and lots of privately owned multifamily properties in Champaign County that we have absolutely nothing to do with. And many of them receive subsidy from the federal government. They still have nothing to do with the Housing Authority. So I'd like, you know, we're happy for you to look at all of our properties. There are properties that are privately owned that you will see on our website because we provide some assistance to those properties, but we don't necessarily own or manage them.
Okay, let's bring it back around to the public comment sign-in, because some people actually signed in. Let's let them talk first, and then she can answer some more questions in a minute. John Daly?
I just want to make sure we got a chance. We have.
Let's see here. Francisco Gonzaga? Okay.
I just signed that sheet. I thought I was just signing sign-in sheet.
Okay.
I was not here last week, and then...
Okay.
I really don't have much to say it, because mm-hmm. this is my first time here. But just one quick question, like you already okay. talked about, you know, I just want to know if there is a possibility to those 15 units to make sure the people who are going to be using those units are from just Tolano, or they're going to be for outside of Tolano?
We want it to be all Tolano families. And we have had, since we first talked about doing something in Tolano, we have had many phone calls, and we have a list that has at least 8 people on it right now that have contacted us directly and said, I would like to be on the list for the housing. So we are keeping a list from, they are all from Tolano, that's correct. We have people from Tolano, some of them are here in the audience tonight, but we have people from Tolano that have contacted us for several months. They're familiar with what we did in Mahomet. They've seen the units in Mahomet, and they said, I can't wait till you get the ones in Tolano done.
All right, Lindsay? Lindsay Graham?
Hey, everybody. My name is Lindsay Graham. Thank you guys, Leslie, for reading my comment. I appreciate it and getting back with me. I've been an adult probation officer with Champaign County for 7 years. Throughout that time, I have frequented a lot of the elderly houses. I currently have one client on probation who is living in an income-based elderly house in Urbana. And that is actually his residence. I also am in charge of monitoring the Fresh Start program in Champaign, which is a gun deterrence program. The people are picked by law enforcement and probation because of their past record and their violent history. I have one person on the Fresh Start program currently that uses his grandmother's address in the Urbana residence as his primary address. His clothing is at that address. I do agree that these buildings, even the ones you guys were talking about in Turnberry, I have a client that resides there as her primary address. I know it's not elderly housing, but the outside of these properties look well and nice, maintained for a while. Inside her apartment is a complete disaster. The kids have wrote all over the walls with crayons, and that's not to say that, you know, grandkids aren't going to be coming to these houses. I know that they're wanting to use it primarily for Tolano residents or the smaller communities. But if there's not enough residents that could fill up these housings, I can guarantee you that you will not want to live next to some of these residents that I monitor. And even if they aren't my clients, I've just frequented the buildings, and they are not monitored up to the covenants that they are supposed to. And over time, I would assume that covenants will change, or that they will become less strict on the covenants, and you know, that's when things continue to deteriorate. But over 7 years, I have become familiar with these types of areas, whether it's elderly income-based housing or the multifamily housing, and that's one reason why I have been a resident of Champaign for my whole life. I'm 34, my daughter's 2 now, and I could no longer live in Champaign, and so I needed to move my family somewhere where I felt safe and where I enjoyed being around the residents of the community. That was no longer the case in Champaign, you know, seeing the things that go on. I can say, you know, with us not having a grocery store or easy accessible things, there's going to be a lot of family members coming to these clients or residents' homes to help with errand running and things like that. So, I mean, it is, whether or not it's with the residents, there's going to be high traffic around this area. And I would be upset if, you know, some of our residents that have lived here their whole life move into this building that looks very nice and new from the outside, and then over time, as people move in and out, you get new residents that aren't from Tolano who I can tell you might not want to live next door to. And that's just my opinion, but I also have worked in this field for 7 years and experienced it. So, like I said, I have examples on my caseload today, one of them using his grandmother's address, and he's on the gun deterrence program in Champaign.
All right. Thank you. Mark Williams?
So I have a couple of questions. I think, John, you mentioned last time that visitor stays are limited to a maximum of 14 days. However, the property manager can waive this?
No.
No?
No.
They said it was subject to manager approval.
Yeah. Right.
Stay longer.
Well, the lease calls for 14 days. There would have to be some extremely extenuating circumstances. Somebody might be ill, is doing a hospital recovery, and we would authorize someone to stay with them during that period of time. So there are circumstances under which a visitor stay could be extended, but it would be special circumstances.
So translator, it can be waived. Let's get to the bottom line.
That is correct, okay. With special circumstances.
Okay.
As a question, off of his question, how do you monitor that?
We have someone who comes to the property, maintenance people and management people on a regular basis. We inspect the units on a regular basis.
Once a year, correct?
No, that's not correct. We can inspect the unit anytime we want.
You can, but do you?
Yes, we do. We inspect many of our properties more than once a year. Okay, sometimes we inspect them every 3 months. Sometimes we put people, if we see somebody who has a housekeeping problem, we put them on a weekly or a monthly inspection process. We have management procedures in place where we try to deal with all of that.
All right, would any of the seniors that came, would you guys like to talk? Yes, ma'am.
We live in one of those complexes she's talking about now. We don't have those problems. We do not have anybody coming living with us. We don't have any criminals, as she puts.
Where is it located?
Here. Up here on Main Street. And we keep our apartments as nice as we kept our homes. Cause that's where we live.
There's 16
units. You can walk in any of our apartments and go,
there's
16 units. Wow, this is nice. The front of them, we keep them nice.
Actually, the trouble comes from a regular house across the street.
We have a lot of trouble there.
What's the name of the place?
Tolona Manor.
Okay.
It's the very first one.
And it's a government?
16 units.
Yes, it is.
Low income?
Yes.
And is it full?
Yes.
I've been there 15 years.
I've been there seven.
Are you guys all from Tolona?
Yes.
And you're on the waiting list?
Yes.
And I live right by them. They're great people. No problem at all, and I've been in several there.
What does the preference, Tolona resident preference mean?
It means anytime there's somebody from Tolona, they would always go to the top and get the first apartment available.
So if they qualified in all the ways, and they would receive the apartment over someone else, let's say a homeless person from Champaign.
Correct.
They would.
It's a residency preference, is what it's called.
So there is, even though it's state-funded money, there is somewhat of a discrimination towards.
Fair Housing does not consider that discrimination. They allow you to give a preference for local. It's called a local residency preference.
So if
and
there's
you give them frequently.
If there's 15 residents from Tolono that would like to move there, then all the tenants will be from Tolono.
That's correct. If we don't have 15 residents, then we have to allow someone else to be able to. We can't discriminate on the basis of where they live, but we can allow a residency preference under Fair Housing.
You've been waiting very patiently.
I just want to make a comment, probably doesn't even need a response. I'm a little bit concerned about the difference we're hearing this week versus last. Yeah. Last week, Tolono residents would not have preference. This week they do. Last week they only checked these residences once a year, that's what they said. And I can tell you that's what they do. This week it'll be more than that. Last week they accepted vouchers, this week they don't. I'm really concerned, and I don't think this is entirely upfront.
Mm-hmm. And I apologize that I was had travel issues, so I wasn't here last week. So I would like to just clarify again. This is a project-based rental assistance property, so all 15 units will have rental assistance available. You cannot put a voucher on a unit that has rental assistance. For example, Tolono Manor, where these ladies live, somebody with a voucher cannot move in there because the apartment already has rental assistance on it. Mm-hmm. So people with vouchers, you know, going around and looking for landlords cannot come to this property. I want to be very clear on that. So vouchers do not come here. The property will already have rental assistance available for the people that are going to live there. It's tied to the property like Tolono Manor is.
And John, okay. John's the one that was talking last week, and he did apologize because
yes.
He's the builder. He's not the
construction
he's a construction guy, and he did the best that he could, and he apologized quite often. And I got an email shortly after the meeting, I think from you,
yes.
Saying that Tolono would get preference.
And there is absolutely a residency preference, as we've talked about. And what was your third thing? I think you had one more thing that you said you heard from
bachelor's residency and
property
inspections.
Property inspections are mandatory once a year, but we can and we do them more often as needed. And we have maintenance men that go in and out of these apartments all the time because they call for repairs, and I can guarantee you after construction, we always have punch list items that we have to take care of. So our maintenance men are in and out, and they do inspections, and they report back if they see any problems or issues. I know some of the buildings that you all are talking about and concerned about, we have a building in Urbana that is a troublesome building that we are working very closely with the city and law enforcement. We are currently doing $2 million of construction work in that building. It is a 60, almost 70-year-old building.
70.
Okay. So it's a 60-year-old building. It has challenges. And it's also 108 units in a high rise. When you build buildings that size, you will sometimes have problems.
So it was built in the 70s?
It was built in the 70s.
It's about 60.
60 years old.
Yeah, that's
more.
It's
more like 40.
I'm not that old.
Thank you. I think it was built in the 50s. Okay.
Yeah. And we have kind of two issues right here, too.
Right.
And the one issue is the location. The location is not a good location. and then the other issue is, do we want something like this in town? Those are the two issues that we're dealing with here. The one issue we can take care of, the location issue we can take care of at this meeting. Then in November, on the ballot, we can try to get down the ballot to whether we want this here or not. And then gives everybody a chance to vote, not just people who are computer savvy. And we did put, if you look on the front table, unless they might have got picked up, there was a few of them there. It has the, we did a poll online. I don't know what I did with mine. If you want to look at that, that was kind of a poll online. So if you're computer savvy, you could get on and do an online poll, but not everybody in the community is. So, and that kind of asks several questions during that.
What got cut off at the end of that, Rob? If you look at the words, they're kind of cut off to the right.
You're going to have me read it.
I'm not sure.
Oh, let's see.
There
was the question. So, yes, I'd like to see this built in Pelono at the current proposed location of North Central Avenue and River Road. Yes, I would be okay with this in Pelono as long as it's not built at the current proposed location. Yes, I am okay with the idea, but want more assurances that this will remain senior living forever and be enforced. No, I do not want this in Pelono at all, and I need more information before I say yes or no. And there were some people who selected other and filled something else in.
Okay. I just couldn't remember what it was referencing.
When it gives me the summary, it cuts it off on there for me.
Yeah, sure.
What was the general sentiment of the email?
It was 52.7% was not at that current location, right?
No,
you were asking about the emails we received?
Oh, not at all. I'm sorry, not at all.
They were overwhelmingly negative.
Yeah.
All the emails were overwhelming.
Yes, every email we got.
Which was humming?
Just about every email we got. We got quite a few. Do you remember off the top of your head?
At least 30, I'm guessing.
Probably 30.
Like 30 or 40.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Probably the neighborhood out there.
So.
Any more on the
No, they're all done.
All right.
I'll make a motion to deny the zoning request for River Road and Central Avenue.
A second.
Okay, roll call.
Buffo? No. I mean, am I saying no to the zoning request?
Yes,
or
you're
yes
denying
to
the request.
Just say you're denying
the
request.
The other vote would be approving his motion.
To deny the
then
request.
Then I want
to
say
deny.
Yes. Yes. King?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Stuber?
Abstain.
Perry?
Yes.
Trulo?
Yes.
Okay. So that's taken care of. We're not going to rezone that property. I think you guys are correct. I think houses would look kind of nice there. So, yes.
Did you say last week, if I'm right, that Pelono and the county would benefit more with houses than this?
I didn't say that, but somebody in the audience said that.
Okay.
I think that they're right. I mean, I think maybe three houses there. I don't know what would fit there.
What? Real quick. The Tolono does not own that property.
Yeah, I was gonna
say, so that is the that is on the property owner to do what to bring what he wants to do with it. So,
yeah. At one time, I heard it. He wanted to build houses.
It's up to the owner what he wants to do.
Yeah.
I think someone put in that they were going to put duplexes. Was that a couple years ago?
Yeah, there's a chance that he.
A couple years ago, they had asked for it to be zoned that way. I mean.
And currently, it's not in. It's not within the village limits.
Oh,
yeah,
there you
go. I mean.
So we would have to annex it into the village to even zone it for anything. Exactly.
It could be the best of both worlds either way, probably.
But there's like three plots right there. I think. One of them's in Tolono and the other two are not, or vice versa? One of them was in Tolono Township.
The house is not, and then there's two parcels that are not.
Parcels.
As well.
Okay. All right. So, any more discussion on this?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure. You have to ask the property owner. All right, so
if I could, I'd just like to thank you guys. I think you made the proper decision for the town, and I appreciate you guys listening to all of us and the other residents.
Well, and after this, we'll have a planning board. Next meeting, we're appointing a planning board. So anybody interested in being on the planning board, send emails in. So, all right. Okay, let's get on with the agenda. So public comments taken care of. Reports. Public Works. That'd be you. Oh, you guys, you're welcome to stay, but the rest of us can be boring. So.
Yeah, you can just finish watching us online.
I know, exactly.
Hey, is that going to be routine now?
I don't know. We'll see. You have to comb your hair.
I was getting my hair cut.
Yeah.
I know. It shows the little bald spot back here.
I'm
going
to have to put some powder on my
you're
hair.
You're going to start paying a makeup person. And,
you
know. I think I got to go get a tan or start wearing a dress.
Did you?
Do like Trump.
You're welcome.
Like
thank
Trump.
You. Thank you. Thank you.
Uh-huh. You can tell he's got his little.
We're gonna get. Yeah, we're gonna get
tanning glasses on. Never noticed
what I thought.
He was the rolly one.
Yeah.
We can take the. They just pop out. We can take
the
cap. Okay. I will. I'll send her an email afterwards.
Would you guys like to sit down now?
Can you make it?
Do a stand up.
Wow. All
right, cool. I figured that's what was going to happen.
2 meters.
All right.
That's all that really did for the match up Tolono to come in and say that about the city. Not wanting.
Shut up.
Not even wanting to hear about this.
I know.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
This sickened me to hear what people had to say mm-hmm. about this development. Maybe the location wasn't the correct location.
That's why I voted the way. The location ain't right for several reasons. I did research Mahomet's. That was totally designed for something like that.
Yeah.
This property wasn't.
Just the whole.
I'm all for looking at other locations.
I'm all for it, too.
I am, too.
It doesn't sound like.
I'd be happy to put it down by me. There are actually several houses I'd be happy to demolish and have it that put in.
But actually, Anna and I had the same comment.
I
live next to them.
I know, but they actually did.
They tried to buy the Amber or April.
Forever April.
They tried to buy it, but it was too close to the train tracks.
So it's Tolono Manor on there.
But
interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe that was designed before. Well, that's privately owned.
It's privately owned, yeah. And
so
is April.
Be a difference. They probably don't have the restrictions.
All right, let's get on.
Let's get going.
Let's go, Matt.
Get going.
Be home by 7:30.
Breathe.
I'm glad I didn't.
Okay. I was with you on it, but
yesterday we picked up the truck. I took one of my part-timers up, drove up, got the truck, brought it back, got the champagne, had two keys cut, and it wouldn't start. So it was a loose wire on the starter. After we got that figured out, it runs fine. It ran great coming back. I was a little concerned when I got back, but it was fine. It, like I said, it ran perfect. I think it's going to be a good truck for us for a long time.
Was the part-timer you took the mechanic?
No. We had to have Reynolds come out. We were going to have a toad, and he crawled underneath there, and he found it. So
oh, good.
We were pulling fuses and checking everything.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that's good. We've got – I had a guy come today. We're trying to check the hitch on it to make sure we can get both trucks set up the same. So we're getting – he's getting a price together for that. The chief, he said he might know of an interested party that might want to buy that, so we would trade that in against the price of the plow and kind of work that out that way. So, which I think is probably the best way to try and do that. So, we also last week had the striping done. I'm hoping everybody's seen that.
Looks great.
Holden Street from 45 back to Elizabeth Street. So when they were doing the tracks, they had that stretch of road shut off. Got Paul with TNT striping in. He did some striping for me last year up here on Main Street. So that turned out really well. Redid the crosswalks. And I thought it turned out really, really nice. So.
On the meters, I know you're wanting to try out that other meter, but it would cost us a fortune to switch over. They have a live, like your electric meter now, where you can log on and you can actually see what you're using. There's a company that came down, and they're about the same price as the meters we have now, but there's like a 95-cent what fee a month, or 80.
It's all cell phone based.
Yeah.
So you can get information, not real time, but every 15 minutes you get
close enough.
That's pretty good.
Right.
And the meters are comparable to what we have now.
Yes.
So it's something we're going to approve him to buy a bunch of meters. And it's something you need to think about before he buys a whole bunch of meters of the master meter kind.
I ordered 102.
Okay.
Pick up. I mean, we've got 300.
They're not working.
That are not working right now. And every time we go out, there's more. I mean, they're right at that age that they're going bad.
Yeah.
So, either we think about switching to a new system and start kind of transitioning these out.
Where we can start getting flights of meters. So in 10 years, this flight's going to be replaced.
Yeah.
I mean, it...
We need a replacement.
I'm going to say
exactly.
God, 60% of them out there, and they're getting to that age that they're going to need replaced within a year or two. So
we have 1,300, right?
Right around that. So.
While we're on the discussion of meters, a question had been posed to me, and I just posed it to Ryan, but we are responsible for the water service up to the meter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the curb stop. If the meter's in the house, we go to the curb stop.
So there's, by curb stop, you mean shut off?
Yes.
For that house at the curb?
Yeah.
Okay. Because the concern was those inside meters, should they malfunction and leak everywhere?
The only time we go in the house is to replace a meter when it goes bad. And we talked to Mark about that, and we had to go. We kind of
have had to be hard nosed about it, that we will shut your water off if you do not put a sinker.
So if we have a shutoff outside, why can't we just put a meter outside the houses?
Put a remote meter.
That is something that Badger said they kind of...
Because we use those at U of I. Remote for places that we cannot access.
Yeah. Well, again, any place we have a meter, we have to have access to.
Yeah, like we have certain buildings we don't have access to, so we put the remotes outside the building.
Yeah.
Then that's how they remotely read it rather than read the other reading meter.
Gotcha.
So there's that way it does, because there are some areas that are not accessible or they don't have a key to,
yeah,
or they're not allowed to because of high security.
Yeah.
So we put remotes on there so we don't miss readings.
Yeah. Well, and it's not that we can't read them. It's just the batteries are dead and we can't read them that way.
Right.
But
I don't know how much remotes actually cost, but we use those like out the China house. We use it out there because they're real particular and want no one in the house because it's spotless and it's very clean.
Yeah.
Well, we can read the meters inside the house. So.
Yeah. So that's how they do.
Right.
Well, my concern with that is how, I know none of us were on the board at that time, but how did we let that happen?
Well, even in Deerpath, they have a couple inside the
houses.
Right?
Do they
is
really?
In his house.
Deerpath always.
Almost, yeah, all of it is.
Really?
Every last one. Kinderwood is always.
That's
inside.
Weird.
Lynchburg Fields is all
I
inside.
I could see Subway, maybe.
How did we as Tolono let that happen? Because now we have to...
It's all your fault, right?
Because we didn't have you.
No. If we had none of us.
But the thing is, if, say, somebody came in and said, we wanted to build a subdivision, we wanted side meters.
And somebody said, okay.
So what's the distinguishing factor of why would you want it inside as opposed to outside?
Supposedly they last longer, the batteries stay, they're not getting the extreme temperatures, hot, cold.
So they last longer?
I don't think it's really much different.
I was going to say, I don't.
But
I wouldn't think there's.
We have had, two. One we replaced just on, it was on the south of Aggie, Broadway, just on Broadway. And we just found that out because the water would have been shut off all there. So if it had been on, running, we probably wouldn't have the issue. The other was in an alley, so there's no grass, no dirt.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like when the rock.
Nothing does.
It doesn't insulate as well.
I'm sure it was a money thing. Because either the
individual
put a subdivision into the town.
You have to do run piping, all that. It's quite cheaper. I don't know.
I wouldn't think there'd be much difference in cost.
Because you're running the pipe anyway to get it into the house.
And you've got a valve for the curb stop, you've got the actual curb stop pipe. So it's, there can't be that much difference in price. I just bought some 18-inch dual wall PVC last year to replace these, and you just cut it. It's a culvert pipe. That's just the casting on it, and you're done. So it's not like they have to be special pipes for these things, so it's not a big deal. So, but we do have some we need to dig up, replace, repair, stuff like that. So that's what we bought. I'll pass these around too. This is from C2. This is a, and we don't have to. I just kind of want to give you guys this information.
More homework.
This is for the sanitary sewer work. And again, this is budgeted for this year. Whenever we cast the budget, then, you know, if it's in or not, the
that's fine. But at least if we do phase one, which I definitely think we need to do that, because that is where we're kind of checking ERH to make sure that we get the proper pump sizes for these pump stations. Because when
cool.
ERH comes in and says we need a 5-horsepower pump, that means nothing. We need to know gallons per minute, how much lift they need to pump that sewage out of those levels. So it's not just worth power at all. So that's something I think we desperately need. Phase one is a must. Phase two is something that we're planning for the future with. That's telling us where we have a lot of infiltration in our current piping. So if we could, and like I said, this is something we can build on, and we're doing that. We have that CMOM plan, I don't even remember what it stands for, that Farnsworth did, but this is the plan. This is kind of how they, stuff that they want you to do, kind of move forward to show that you're actually doing something with your system. So, and again, this is something that should have been kind of stepped along as we went to kind of take care of some of these issues along, and then we wouldn't have the kind of issues we have now. But we just kind of need to take these small steps to kind of boost up our infrastructure. So the water main,
it's something that we need to do, especially if, you know, there's people talking about subdividing some more land.
Right.
I think we'll be amazed by how much infiltration we have with the system, which
it's just trying to figure out where it's at and trying to pinpoint it where we can eliminate as much as we can.
And you got how many miles of clay tile do we have that, you know, it leaks when it rains?
Right.
I mean, it leaks out too, but it leaks in when it's saturated
and
ground.
People are illegally hooked up
mm-hmm.
to
their sumps.
Yeah. And we know of one that they just complained. Gary Mitchell, he told me that was hooked up to the super system. So I know of one.
Did it backflow?
So, what's that?
Did it backflow on him?
It flooded her basement because it was not flowing out of the basement. It wasn't sewage. It was
stormwater
that was running into her basement
yeah.
and not getting out. So, but yes, it's we have issues out there. So,
cool.
The water, we should know, I think, by the end of this month from EPA. We should have our permitting. We've got one home builder on Austin. We're going to do something quickly to figure out this. He's going to have a permit, I'm guessing, at hand this week, if not next. Between Corey and my dad.
So we're down by you.
Mm-hmm.
So
that empty lot
yeah,
behind Darla.
Yes, there's no water main near there. So either we're gonna have to provide him temporary service until we get the water main built, or we put that top priority on our
and we're gonna move
list.
Those over to the 6-inch, right? All those houses.
Yes.
And
that, everything
gonna,
will be on a 6-inch.
So maybe when we're moving those over to the 6-inch, if we get approved that, then. Is that 2-inch? That's the one where we're having the problems with it leaking constantly.
No.
It was really bad the other day. It was
is that a different place?
That's different. That's
okay.
That's on down.
Street.
That's 500
okay,
block.
It's 500. Okay.
That's 500. I'm like.
But that's
how many?
That's not constructing new.
Yep.
That's just extending out to
okay.
that existing.
Corey and Austin is Woodworth's lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's on the north side, right?
Yes. Yep. There's two lots there.
Yeah.
So.
That's pretty small for two lots.
They were small lots. It's not bad as one, but yeah. I had a conversation with Greg Gibbs the other day about the
chlorine content.
Doing the water main project, and you and I discussed that a little bit.
And my thought was maybe water for a year. And I kind of threw that out there. I said, you know, we can't really do sanitary sewer. You know, that's kind of separate things there. So he understood that. But I'll read the text that he sent to me. Hi, Matt, I'm not going to make a board meeting tonight. Can you talk to the board about what we discussed for the water portion of the bill? And I'd be willing to put a cap on, like, the amount of water. So, you know, he's not going to be out there, hey, you got free water, so I'm going to water my yard. So, and then kind of get back to him on what was that.
What was this for again?
That's the loop, that looping project for those dead ends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Holden, Linden part, mm-hmm. that we kind of cut back just that half a block. And his concern was, you know, he didn't want to give up his ground for nothing. Which
oh,
I
okay, for the easement?
See as well.
Okay.
It would be an exclusive easement for the water. Like he said, it's not just for, it's not going to benefit just him only. But again, I just wanted to reiterate, because like I said, I had talked to him once before, him and his wife came in, and then, you know, I talked to Rob about this a little bit, but I wanted to at least bring it back up to, you know, if there's anything else that you want to do. You know, we're spending $30,000-$31,000. That's got an engineer's estimate on this project to do it ourselves. So it's not like we're not going to make the money back by him paying a water bill for ever. So it's just one of those things. You know, how far you want to go in the hole?
Yeah.
You know, we have three houses to complain about the water quality. Brian, he ought to know because he's right there as well. And have you?
We haven't had any issues. Last summer we had issues with the dog, but she's been fine. The dogs that we've watched temporarily have been fine as well now.
Okay. So, and Brian lives right behind right here. So, same water, same main.
Very rarely do we have any weird taste or anything anymore, but noticed an improvement when they started flushing more often. And
yeah. And we haven't had the hot temperatures mm-hmm. yet either, so we haven't really flushed or checked anything so far this year. So.
All right. Any other discussion on that? All right. Anything else?
I do have a question. Now, this first phase that we're talking about here, the amount and everything like that, when were we going to start talking about the sewers, though? The doing the infrastructure for the sewers, you know, making sure that all the different pump stations that we have throughout the system are actually running at a normal capacity, not, oh, yeah, we're at 85% on these, you know, where we shouldn't be at 85% because that means we only have 15% to expand.
Well,
if we're bringing some more subdivisions into the village, you know, it's not going to get better.
We've done a study on the sewer system and the water system. I can send that to you.
Okay.
We had a consultant come in. Doing these pump stations will help us with the flow.
Okay.
And we'll know if we have to upgrade pumps or if we're doing fine on pumps. And then when subdivisions come in, we know we need to add another pump station in such and such place. So we're doing that.
It kind of verify those numbers, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Cool. Because I know that there's been some discussion with the inside of the sewage pipes lining them.
There's a lot of steps to get to
get
to that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Cool.
That's, you know, the first step is look at those and then do the flow studies, which that's like a 6-month process to kind of figure out where, you know, we have those heavy rains, where that water is getting into. And that's flow study tells you how much water you're getting in. Normal day, it's high peaks,
mm-hmm.
and then because of the sewer plant, right now they're not saying that we're putting all the water through there, and that we're getting a meter every day. So there has to be more than that going in the plant.
Should be.
So.
Or no, there is more water going to the plant than is going into the house and then coming out of the house.
I would think. I mean, yeah, you drink water, but you're taking baths and showers mm-hmm. and flushing stools and doing dishes and stuff like that. So, right. I mean, yeah, there's some loss, but usually you're gaining some because there's still water getting into the system.
Right.
This also could help us justify lining all those pipes. You know, if we
and that's where
40-60% of our water we're treating is
stormwater.
From stormwater, or, you know, even a field tile could be tied into it somewhere.
And then that's where we can come in and do the camera work after that to figure out what lines are bad, what lines are good, and then they also have like a structural lining, so if the pipes aren't in good shape, we don't have to dig it back up and replace it. You can put a structural liner inside that.
Okay.
And
which is a lot cheaper.
But we're still good, so.
What's that?
It's a lot cheaper to do it that way.
Yeah.
I think they say, a quarter to a third of the cost,
yeah,
I believe.
And everybody's doing it, so.
Yeah. Well, everybody's doing it.
I mean, they do.
On Facebook. So.
Yeah. It's not on the internet.
UCSD, they do thousands of feet.
Okay. All right, but this does start to get down that road later on.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
We're slowly working towards that.
I just was wanting to make sure because I'm like,
because we need to start working on infrastructure.
Even the numbers, the numbers those consultants gave us is kind of it's not really an exact science number that they gave us.
This,
I realize that, but I didn't realize that
I've been
the
told
first phase is going to take like 6 months.
I've been told on the first 5 years I was here that we had plenty of capacity, and then this gentleman comes in and, you know, we're at 85% capacity.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's actually true?
Yeah. Well, and then especially if we want to try and get the Oaks in, and then if we actually ever want to try and get the Milo.
We need to know.
And it'll help us justify if we have to raise rates too. That this has got to be done.
Yeah. Which we already know we need to raise sewer anyway.
We still need to talk about it. So.
Yeah. Okay. I'm good.
That reminds me, Mark, in that ordinance, it needs sewer and water.
Rates?
Yeah.
I will send an email to that effect.
I talked, kind of talking back and forth to the engineers a little bit. Would you guys, and don't you even bring this topic up, speed limits, lowering our speed limits to 25?
It's not going to matter.
Huh?
I don't think it'll matter.
It won't matter in Austin.
I know, but the problem is if it's 30, people are driving 35. So if we move
obey
it to 20
sign.
Or 25,
oh, perfect on
we bring it down to 20 or 25.
Parker, you can see the stop sign.
Yeah. So it's just something to think about. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, we could lower it to 25 and be fine without a speed study.
I thought it was 30, but I don't quote me.
I can't remember. We were going back and forth on it.
30.
Is it 30?
And then you can go down to 25 with a speed study.
But he said the chief of police could write a letter saying we need to lower it, and that would be considered our speed study.
What?
That's just
what's
one
the
of
basis
options.
Of the letter, though? What's he going to say? We've got crashes everywhere because we don't.
You're saying what you got from the engineer said that?
Yeah, they're kind of going back and forth with options.
He had called me and talked to me about it. I don't believe that's quite accurate,
okay.
But it's not far from the truth.
Okay.
The engineers were saying you have to do a really big study. I checked into it, and the statute just says we have to do a traffic study.
Okay.
I think we have to make
an attempt to do a traffic study.
Okay.
But I think it could be done in-house, and you wouldn't necessarily have to have
an engineer. Is there one of those cables out there?
Exactly. Okay, so that's just an idea. If you guys are interested in it, we can keep pursuing it. If not,
go down to 20 by parks without doing a study.
Okay.
So not just school zones, but by parks. You can't transition. You can transition from 30 to 20, but you can't transition outside that, adjacent to the park, to 25 without doing the traffic study.
And I know a lot of around ballparks, Philo's done it in the past, DeSoto has it right now. They'll put the temporary
speed bumps
on. So, I mean, that's something we could do. I mean, there are, which there is a stop sign right there at Reynolds and Whitehead.
But on Condit, there's not.
Well,
Condit, they fly down Condit.
But there's not a ball field.
No.
Right by there.
Oh, and did you check on putting another stop sign in? We probably need to do an ordinance on, well, what was the intersection I gave you?
Walnut and East.
Yeah, we probably need to do an ordinance on that one.
East. Okay.
It needs to be a four-way.
Make it a four-way?
Yeah.
Or a three-way?
We're having problems with people coming off the lane, which is ours for a certain.
Oh, is it
probably that first half.
Yeah, just, yeah, there's,
okay,
it's ours for a little bit, but we can still put a stop sign there. We're having people coming off that lane because they'll have a stop sign just blowing through that intersection and at Mach 1.
And that's not good. I mean, there's some soccer fields over there.
Yeah.
All diamond right there.
So it slowed them down a little bit. All right. Anything else? Okay. I guess you're off the hook.
I didn't have that much, but I just had
I got a question for you, so I'll build. And I'm getting nitpicky. $8.91 for a Linen and Sky vent clip. Is that an air freshener?
Oh, what?
It's on one of your Menards receipts. A Linen and Sky vent clip for $8.91.
Oh, you want the truck to smell good.
Some of them are atrocious. It's bad, so atrocious. Yeah.
All right.
I didn't realize it would cost that much. So. Yeah. There might have been three on there.
A three-pack?
As you
should
know,
last for the summer.
Yep.
Jared rings every line of every bill.
That's fine. So. That's fine.
I need to ask a quick question on pickup. How is that working for? I know you said like is it every other Monday you pick up?
We have so much out. We went ahead and did it today, which we weren't supposed to do it until next week.
Because I had a lot of people ask me.
Well, everybody's doing landscaping.
I understand
it's the
that.
First mice
yeah.
week in
But pack. My question is, I
so
had three diligent made piles.
Yeah.
Amen.
There was only one pile that got picked up.
That's one of the ordinances we need to change a little bit.
The other two were leaves.
So what do we do with leaves?
We're going to come back and get those.
Okay, because I have diligently sorted all three of my piles, and my front yard is kind of messy because it's like they're all smudged together now. So.
Because I told the guys we're going to do back out because there's sweet gum balls.
But it looks like they took the top of the leaves and then they took a little bit of
he tries to pick out.
But I know, but I'm just saying because
sticks out of that so because
and I had three neighbors in the neighborhood ask me and I was like I know that
I'm
they're super busy but
I'm around the camp this week
because I know everybody's doing their spring cleaning
and that's what we'll do too. I mean
yeah,
that's what I want them to do if there's a bunch of stuff out. Okay, we're gonna do it this week.
Yeah,
so
I mean I know everybody's doing their spring cleaning.
Yeah,
but I just was confused on kind
and
of
again it wasn't supposed to be until next week. Yeah.
But that's initiative and I like that. That's we like that. I like that anyway. All right, any other questions? I keep telling them we can sit down, and then something pops up.
Okay, bye.
All right, Rick, front center.
Front end center. Just a couple of things that I think of. We've got two new officers on the street just in training. One of them is going to be a full-time officer that you guys hired. And he's got an 80-hour transition course coming up on June 18th. He'll be gone for 2 weeks to take that course. And once he completes that and get a certificate to be a full-time officer instead of a part-time officer. Part-time officer is a retired lieutenant from District 10. I've got no problem with him. He's just got to get used to our program and our software. The other thing, on April 18th, we Unity has their job shadowing program. We've done that for years now. We had two of them, 15-year-old kids, that was interested in a career of law enforcement, and so we paired them up with officers here during that day shift and showed them around and how to do things and all that stuff. We do that every year. We did that last April 18th. And it went well. They were interested, and one of them said they wanted to be a coroner. Coroner? But anyways.
They need coroners.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, that's all I've got.
I didn't come in the front door. Did they start the concrete?
Actually, they're doing it starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
He was going to park his trailer out front, and I had him take it home.
Okay.
So I was talking to him this for the meeting.
Yes. So I was just relaying that, and I didn't come in the front door, so I didn't.
I talked to him like right before the meeting.
We took care of the CO2 detector in there. We were able to do that ourselves. It was just, you know, how they have the two screws. And was it coming off the screws, so we just was able to put that back up. I think that's everything in the building that I can think of.
There's a tile that needs to be replaced.
Yes, I was told about that, and I see that up there.
We should have some extra ones, I would think, but
I'll check. If we do,
should be these chairs tilt while you're standing in them. Might check the specs. There usually is an attic stock people are supposed to provide, so there's ceiling tile and.
Perfect. What Terrence was trying to say is we need a ladder here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a step ladder. That wouldn't be a bad idea.
If I'd known about it, we would have had one here.
Complaints I'm getting is speed when you slow people down in town. Especially in Austin. It is Indianapolis 500.
and watch the stop sign, please.
Yeah.
They could just slow and go right
They've
through
They've
been
doing really good parking at Club 44. No, they've actually kept the intersection.
It's gotten a little better.
Yeah, they've done a lot better.
My biggest concern is the semis, which I understand is too much to stop, but the idea was to slow them down, and they just buzz right on through it. They don't stop.
I don't ever see them not stop. When I'm out walking around?
Well, I live right there, and I see them every day. And I can name about 15 times.
Yeah, they're always going the speed limit and stopping. They're always going the speed limit and stopping.
I go down there when you're down there. When they go by me.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you come sit in my car. You can watch
one, the gas,
I'll take pictures.
The gas truck.
No,
the one that flies.
My part is when I walk the dog, I can
never rely
on that stop sign ever. Because no one ever stops.
Usually
and
the grain trucks are fine.
Well, then why don't we just pull out there and find out who the driver is?
When
a
car's coming,
specifically target
my dog
him.
And I go to the side of the road.
I agree.
Because
so next time you see him, say
85% of the time they don't stop.
The truck right
yeah, because they will deal with complaints. Because I talk to them.
And they're very good about it.
Yeah.
Because they never stop.
It's one of these things that are hit and miss.
Yeah, and that's why I said.
You can sit there for 30, 40 minutes and not have a car come in.
Sit there for about 2-3 hours, you'll get about 5 of them.
And there are a lot of semis that come down strong, and they turn.
And they don't.
Every day.
I can't trust it when I'm walking the dog at
heavy.
All.
Have you tried to lift that thing up? It weighs like a ton. He's looking. He's got it in his budget for a new TV for in here.
Say what?
It's in your. Did you put it in your budget for the TV in here?
Oh, TV?
Yeah.
Ever since the camera came out, he's
speed.
Gotta act up.
Oh,
try Walmart.
Have you noticed that? It's like a child. Don't you? He's so excited to be on camera.
$500. That's plenty.
One other thing too. During board meetings, this is nitpicky because we probably don't have like this anymore. But can you have your guys not park in front of the building during board meetings? It, they can park around.
I don't know why he parked there to begin with.
He
wasn't thinking
in his driveway.
Yeah, I mean, they could park in the drive over here. And
in his
driveway?
Well, when
driveway.
I walk up, I'm going, why is that car parked there when there's a spot right there in front of our garage doors?
So, I mean,
that's what I'm wondering. Maybe he left that open for someone to walk up the ramp.
Well,
I don't know.
He could use the far
I know.
Far
walk.
Or, I mean, just, if we're probably not going to have another packed house, but if you could just have him not
fall. No, I don't
know.
It's possible.
I know. Yeah.
I was kind of surprised to see it parked there, too.
It probably wasn't thinking. He's dealing with something too. He's got a case he's dealing with, so he's been kind of in and out.
Okay.
Anything else for Rick?
Can we go ahead and talk about the swimming pool ordinance?
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Since they're both here.
Before you do that, did you ever get that pop card sent to me?
I can check. I don't know.
I haven't done it yet.
Okay, I'll check.
Right.
The swimming pool ordinance, just start, I don't know how we want to enforce that. I don't remember if it's specifically spelled out in the ordinance. I'd have to read it again.
It's got fines in it.
But if we could start enforcing that, because it's that time of year.
And you had a list.
Yeah.
And now we have a better ordinance on it, too.
Yeah, and I asked if anybody could look and find it if they have it.
Have the ordinance?
No, the list.
Oh, I don't know. Hopefully you have a copy of it.
Did we have it on the computer, or was it?
It was.
I feel like it was emailed to us.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I think I have that vision, but I don't know.
Recently?
I'd have to go through
them
all.
No, it was like last year.
Yeah, because we did all those on fences and stuff like
yeah.
that, but we didn't know really what to do.
I remember you having a list.
And that's why.
Did you say a fence around the pool? Do you mean it's got to be around the pool, or is it a...
Yeah, that's why we wrote this new ordinance. Thank you.
The pool area, either yard or pool.
For the yard or the pool?
Yeah, either or.
Because that was the big issue back then, because we didn't know...
Yeah, the pool, essentially there's got to be a fence around the pool, whether it covers the entire yard or covers just the pool.
30 inches or more, the required fence
Thank
may
you.
Include the pool exterior wall if it's adequate to safeguard the pool from unauthorized
entry. So that's the above ground pool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So on this does include the temporary... because it's all pools 30 inches or more in depth, so.
I think it kind of decreased the height from 6 foot to 4 foot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a much better ordinance.
So when they have these rubber pools, you can
look at this. Yeah, 30 inches or more in depth.
Down.
But what kind of fence?
Okay. 4 foot fence.
Yeah.
Chain link?
Yeah,
or
it could be any make. Just
anything.
In other words, if they put one of those plastic fences around it,
It has to be adequate
or reasonably safe to reasonably safeguard said swimming.
Shall be made of chain link or other acceptable material adequate for reasonable safeguard. Says swimming pools from unauthorized entry.
Locking or latching gates shall also be required. So if there are no locks or latches,
ordinance is an ordinance, so.
Yeah. No, that's, and we wanted it enforced. We rewrote it so
there's,
it would be easier.
You know, even mm-hmm. these temporary pools, there are a lot of them that stay up all year round, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you going to send any notices to these people to know that they...
Well, I like how Aaron's going and knocking on doors and giving them copies of the ordinances and talking to people. That's what we need to start doing. I mean, you or Aaron can do it. This is kind of interesting. Remember Jessica that was in here last week?
Mm-hmm.
She does insurance. She works for State Farm. She just posted, FYI, if there's not a fence, at least around the pool, to try to prevent people from swimming or unauthorized people in there, if you had a pool claim, some companies would deny the claim if you didn't have a fence.
I was going to say, it's for
so
their
it's
safety
completely
as
on,
well
yeah,
as...
Yeah, exactly. It's,
that's what people don't
so then
understand.
So the question, Jessica, is what constitutes a fence in the insurance world?
Yeah.
And then Bourne and Broadway is another stop sign that they're having problems with, too. Kind of like this, actually. Okay, anything else for Rick?
He's thinking.
Says here, Rick, that the... If you use a fence around the pool, part of the pool, it has to be 2 foot taller than the pool wall.
For the above grounds.
For above grounds. So they don't necessarily...
That's the fences that go over on the top of the...
Yep, and it's got to be
completely secured all the way around.
I think the above ground have the decks that are attached.
Washington Calhoun has one.
She posted it on the Facebook comments. Are you not seeing it? You scroll to the top of the comments.
Washington Calhoun is probably the best example because it looks real nice. It's exactly what it should be.
Okay, cool. Anything else? Have anybody for Rick? Or anything else for Rick? All right, cool. All right, now, treasurer.
Anything else for us, Rick?
I'm looking for the fine for
you. I don't think there
is. It's $50 on one of them.
It's in the other rooms. In the internet world, it must get completely around and locked.
Or latched.
Or locked on it.
Yeah. Which is how the ordinance reads.
Thank you.
And apparently there's somebody throwing rocks up the overpass, Rick.
That's the building permit fee. If you violate the ordinance, the rest of the code book has the violation.
Oh, the code
book. Up to $750 per day or whatever it is.
Okay.
You're free to go.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so now we need
thank you, Rick.
Any questions for the treasurer? Or questions about the bills?
Why is there a reason
treasurer
the bills
report?
Are separated? The checks are separated?
Because we have ones that were before April and ones that are after.
Okay. Cool.
Did you pull the one for Officer Frost?
You told me not to. You told me to leave it in there.
We changed it.
What did we change it to?
It's an excluding.
Excluding the off-duty stuff, the taxes, the shipping.
And what else?
I don't remember what else was on there.
Because it was like $300, and he's only worked 1 month.
I know.
So he shouldn't be getting his full uniform allowance for fiscal year 18. If he spent all that money today, he'd be fine. Because it's the first.
Exactly.
So I don't think we need to pay
but,
any of it or only a quarter.
And that's
of
something that needs to be clarified in their contract because their contract does not say that. It just says they get a clothing allowance on May 1st. It doesn't say we prorate it or do something like that. Common sense would dictate that you get a prorated one. You don't get a clothing allowance and then 2 weeks later get another clothing allowance after we just bought them a bunch of stuff. But that's something you need to get out to your guys too, because if they're going to buy off Amazon, have them email their list to Brandy, and she can order it off Amazon and not pay taxes or shipping. So,
if you order off Amazon and you don't have the tax exempt, you can email them.
If they go off, because we have certain vendors that we order from.
It's not for this is for the hell out though.
POs that are open.
Yeah.
Two different ones.
And they
was there?
Go out and search on whatever is the cheapest thing that they can find on the internet. And
well, the vest.
We don't pay for anything that are taxes or shipping or handling.
The vest carrier.
So they pay for that. That should be taken out of there, and they pay for that. If they don't use our vendors, then they have to pay the taxes and shipping and handling.
So we pulled one out.
On any of the
there's
invoices.
There's two invoices on those.
This is my understanding.
Should be another two invoices. I'm just repeating what she just said. Like you couldn't hear her.
It'd be easier anyway because they wouldn't have to get reimbursed. It would just go directly off of their.
I love that you have these paperclip together.
And that's something we can vote on. If you want to take this out and vote on it separately. So.
I've been the squeaky wheel, that's enough.
Huh?
I've been the squeaky wheel, that's enough.
No, and I'm fine either way. But the problem
but
is, I think.
If you're approving it as.
Is that the full amount or the amount minus the off-duty items that we referenced in? Minus the off-duty items and the
So what's the total now?
Did you get that email on his response to that?
Yeah, it's...
Because he showed me on it that he's wearing them on his duty belt.
$333.47.
Oh, Frost's email? No.
I didn't get that either.
Justin's got a note on his Amazon bill of what his is for.
Yeah, but I'm talking about that. Brent got the email on the response because we weren't going to do the off-duty stuff, but he isn't using it for off-duty, he's putting it on his duty belt. He showed me the stuff on his duty belt last night.
Why would he carry an off-duty concealment holster on it?
That's kind of what I was wondering.
He's following, I don't know, it's this polymer stuff or something that's hard, kind of a hard plastic that doesn't scratch up.
The Kydex polymers.
Yeah, and apparently Justin's got some of the same kind of stuff, and so he's, for some reason, wants to be like Justin, I guess. The clothing allowance and equipment, I really think, needs to be looked at the next contract and stuff and get it a little bit better organized because they're just buying whatever they want to buy.
So this is the best carrier? The 103, okay. And we need to pay for the best carrier. Okay.
And then this amount is all of this stuff minus that.
It's $230.47.
Okay. And minus shipping and tax and minus this.
The extra 103 is a vest carrier, which we should pay for.
Yeah,
we should pay for that. Any other questions about this? We put it back in here. Okay. I'm not going to mess up Randy's stuff. That's all you. All right. So, any questions on the bills?
Motion to approve bills is presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Bubbo?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Carrie?
Yes.
Payne?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Trudeau?
Yes.
Can you switch the order of every time?
Just gotta keep you on your toes.
All right, any sewer credits?
No.
All right. We need approval of the April 17th, 18th, and 24th meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve the April 17th, 2018 minutes.
A second.
Bubbo?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Perry?
Abstain.
King?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Trulock?
Yes.
Make a motion to approve the April 18th minutes.
I'll second it.
Bubbo?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Perry?
I don't know if that's the one I was here for or not.
That was the,
that was electric aggregation, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, you weren't here for the electric aggregation, or aggregation, whatever it's called.
Sorry.
King?
You can still vote to approve them.
Stewart?
Yes.
I'm sure you watched the video.
Abstain.
Yeah. Make a motion to approve the April 24th, 2018 minutes.
I second that, too.
You were here for that.
Bo?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
King?
Stein.
Stuber?
Yes.
Trulock?
Here. Yes.
Yes, we were.
Okay. We don't have any executive session. Ooh. Old business. That we took care of.
Does the individual just come in?
Did you have something you want to say?
Just one thing. When you're talking about water meters and water leaks,
yes.
And I believe you said there was a leak on Whitehead, if I'm remembering, or in that area, and that is no street.
The building was going up on Corey, and between Corey and Whitehead, we have a leak on Austin between Condit and Strong.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Galloway and Strong, yes.
Okay. Are we going to get the meters? Is that...
We are working. I'm going to pick up some, 102 Thursday. So, yes.
Is that everybody or just specific areas?
We've got over 300 that are not working.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and focus on in-house meters first, so that we can actually get correct readings on those,
right.
And then I'll work on ones I got to make sure that the pits aren't full of water, so we got to have different meters for that, right, and stuff like that. But I'm going to work on these as best I can. Right. My budget is what I'm working on.
I understand. And then my issue was, if that was great, but irrelevant to that point, I'm just hoping that whatever was wrong can be fixed, so it doesn't happen again.
What's your address?
317 West Road, but my house is on Whitehead Air Road, it's on the corner.
Okay.
But it's paved and everything.
Right, right. And we were trying to.
Okay. All right. Well, they're talking. Anything, questions about the nuisance and tickler files?
On the tickler file, I don't know. Did you know there's a family of foxes in town?
They've been here for years.
Well, no, they're like living like in my mom's backyard.
Are they? Yeah, they've been living.
Stop feeding them.
I'm not feeding them. I think they're like.
There's not much we can do with them.
I know. I was out there the other day and they were like.
They're nomadic.
Chucked the fence and took off running. And
they run up and down Austin. They come up and down Strong.
I haven't seen them over there. I just see the coyotes.
They live kind of in the fields right through there. Heck, we were walking the dog and one's chasing butterflies. Mm-hmm. The dog, I don't know why the dog completely ignored him. The dog ignored him and he ignored the dog and walked right on by him. They're usually skittish.
Yeah, they run the minute they hear me, usually.
Yeah. That's what they're living like, on the edge of the country.
Run!
All right, do we have anything for the executive session?
There she is.
That hit me a whole
lot. Nothing.
You had your chance to talk.
This is for executive session.
Okay. All right, so anything that I missed on the agenda? Anybody want to say anything or in public session? Nobody? All right, so I need a motion to go to executive session.
Apparently that's my job. I make a motion to adjourn to executive session for the limited purposes of discussing the hiring, performance, compensation, and or employment of one or more village employees.
So, is there action or anything that you want to keep streaming? To?
No.
Is there any action that we need to be making?
Until next meeting.
Okay.
So now,
when we come,
you
want
to
while
we need to roll call this.
While
right?
It's going,
let's roll call this real quick.
Okay.
Buffo?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Harry?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Trulock?
Yes.
All right. We're on a 5-minute intermission.
So we might as well just let them know that when we come out of executive session,
we're not going back
live. We're just adjourning our meeting.
Yep.
So the stream is effectively ending right now.
That works.
Okay.
Thank you, good sir.
Thank you.
That way you can use it again to somebody who wants it.
That's kind of neat.
You have to turn that off.
People are watching it and actually come in and
I know.